My name is Sarah Joseph. I'm the director of the Kasman Centre. I have to say, there was this sub. You all just stopped talking because this subject. We better start. So that was quite interesting. First of all, I would like to start by paying my respects to the traditional owners of the land, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. And I don't have much to say because the person from the Kasman Centre who has driven this from our side is our marvellous director, Mario Smith. So I'm going to very quickly pass over to him.
Hello and thanks for coming. It's great to see so many people here for this. It's quite an amazing turnout. As a university-based human rights centre, obviously we have always felt a strong commitment to helping those students who have an interest in human rights. And obviously the main thing students do at university if they're interested in human rights is study human rights subjects. We've always tried to make sure that our interest in students goes beyond that. We've tried to support them and inspire them in various ways through mentoring, advice, internships both with us and through our global internship program. And for many years we've also provided careers advice through our annual careers seminars and an information page on volunteering and internship opportunities on our website. We've always wanted to do something more comprehensive for students. And we're therefore delighted when the Progressive Law Network approached us last year about the idea of doing a comprehensive careers guide for progressive careers. And I was impressed by the PLN representatives from the first time that I met Penelope Swales, and I never had a second of doubt that they'd be able to pull this project off. The PLN, and especially Penelope and Katia Lello and Alice Bewley, Katia's here, wave Katia. Penelope's here, and Alice, I've been informed, is actually sick and unable to make it. They have put in an enormous amount of work to produce this resource. As you later on tonight get the chance to look at it, or perhaps later on at home, you'll see just how much work has gone into it. We've also been delighted to have the support of Victoria Law Foundation, who've been a strong supporter of the Kasman Centre for a number of years now across a number of different projects. Without their financial support, this just simply wouldn't have happened. We are delighted to see so many people here tonight, and it really does confirm what Penelope said to me the first time that she came into my office, that there is just a real thirst for people to get information beyond the sort of well-known commercial pathways where you can easily get plenty of information. So tonight you'll be among the first people to use this fantastic new resource. But before you do, I'm going to introduce our guest speakers, following which there are computers along each wall that you'll have a chance to use and search for guides. Our first speaker tonight is Gillian Pryor, who's Principal Lawyer at the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service. VELS was established as a community-controlled cooperative society in 1973. Plays a very important role in providing referrals, advice, information and legal services to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the state of Victoria. Solicitors at VELS specialise in criminal law, family law and civil law. I'd like you all to welcome Jill to the microphone.
Thank you. I'd also like to just start by acknowledging the traditional owners of this land, the people of the Wurundjeri people and the people of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. This is my PowerPoint presentation, so I'll see if I can upload it onto the computer. It involves me trying to read my own handwriting, which may be the most challenging part of this. So, my name's Jill Pryor and I'm the Principal Legal Officer at VELS. I've been there for 10 years in January, which is why this is all grey on that side, and that's just family on that side. I actually started at Monash straight from high school, and I dropped out of Monash after a year. for no reason, it's a terrific institution, but I went back, did some other exciting things, and then went back and finished a law degree following an arts degree at La Trobe University. And finished that, and went and did my practical legal training at Leo Cusson. And I was offered one of two placements. So during that practical legal training component, I was asked if I wanted to go and work in a small private practice that predominantly dealt with domestic violence issues and family law issues, or I could go to the Aboriginal Legal Service. And ultimately I decided that the Aboriginal Legal Service was the place I'd go to. Now, I say that with this admission, and that is that I wasn't really sure what I was getting into, and that's probably the same with most people that I've worked with ever since. But it's been an absolutely amazing 10 years. Somehow after the first 2.5 years, I got taken down to the garage, which is where all the important decisions are made, in our old building, by the CEO at the time, and he lit up a Peter Stuyvesant and asked me if I wanted to become the principal legal officer, which was a very difficult decision to make because I didn't feel like I was anywhere near capable of taking on that role. That may have been nice, actually, but here I am this many years later, and I've seen the organisation grow from 7 criminal lawyers. So we're based up in Preston now, for those who don't know anything about VALS, which is now in its 40th year, or getting into its 41st year. We're based in Preston now, and the organisation since I started in 2004 has grown from 7 criminal lawyers, 3 family lawyers and 1 civil lawyer, to 14 criminal lawyers, 3 civil staff and 4 family lawyers. And that, I mean, that's an interesting point in and of itself. When I first started there, it was kind of terrifying, but kind of not, because you don't know what's terrifying until you start walking through the kinds of terrain you end up walking through. But I noticed on this fly, or the information that's been circulated, that one of the questions that's asked is, are you wondering what you're doing with your life? Yes, I am. And if you'll ever find work which is rewarding and meaningful. And I think that's kind of an interesting question, because it really calls upon each of you to ask yourself, what is rewarding? And that's a vexed kind of question, but what is meaningful to me is a much more meaningful part of that statement. Those questions really are startling at the moment in the state that we live in, and from my point of view, as I say, when I started there were 7 of us in criminal law, there's now 14, and that's indicative of what we've seen in a doubling of numbers of people coming through our doors for criminal matters, which in the last calendar year was 8,000 contacts with Victoria Police by Aboriginal people, which if you take into account the statistical comparison with the general population is a terrifying statistic. There's not really a surprise for me at this point to look back and see why it is that I went to work at VALS, because when you look and ask yourself what's meaningful for you, what was meaningful for me, whether I knew it or not when I just finished my law degree, was to ensure that I was working in an environment where every morning that I got up, I went somewhere where I worked in an organisation that was passionate about advocating for people's human rights, and the criminal law is really, as Justice Lasry once said, the very threshold of those human rights, because you're talking about people's liberty. And our clients come with a range of complex, I'm just going to do water as well, complex issues that traverse history, and put them in a situation where social disadvantage, I just touched something and I have. I'm really sorry. That's part of the presentation. I don't know what I've done. Is it all right? I'll put the water over there then. But these are the kinds of issues that our clients present with. And in the Aboriginal community, which is an incredibly strong and generous community as far as accepting people like me coming in and asking all sorts of probing questions about really, really traumatic histories, is a privilege, really. But it also carries with it a responsibility to remain vigilant about fighting. And every day we see that, and we see it more and more now. Just so we're clear, in this state, in Victoria, the latest statistic is that Victoria is the leader. And I remember a number plate when I was a kid. I don't know if it's still Victoria on the Move. Is that still our logo? But Victoria is now, it's not. Well, we are, because Victoria is now the highest rate of increased Aboriginal populations in prison in the country, which I think it's an increase of 15%, and that's the highest representative increase in the nation, ahead of places like the Northern Territory and WA, which historically have had incredibly high percentages of Aboriginal people in custody. So that's what's happening here. That's what we're faced with at the moment, and really that presents us with a challenge to remain vigilant and to remain passionate about ensuring that people are represented well. Because, just to take it out of this sphere, but we're seeing a stripping back of the kinds of therapeutic options that were available in the state for many, many years, and certainly since I started at ALS, the paring back of the options available to people that come before the criminal justice system is incredibly obvious at the moment. So the rates of remand, the custodial sentences that are being afforded, well, that's not right, but being dished out to people in court, and the real concerns around people being released into the community mean that our prisons are overloaded and people are held in custody more and more for longer and longer, and terrifyingly this is the current state in Victoria. So in answer to this question about what you think is meaningful and rewarding, if human rights concern you, then a career at somewhere like the Aboriginal Legal Service is right up your alley. You get up every morning and you have a burning passion to go out and ensure that people's rights are protected. I've just been at the Magistrates Court, which is why I'm a bit hoarse because I've been talking for a long time. But I saw a fellow in custody who I've been representing probably since he was in his early 20s, and he's now in his late 20s. He's in custody now for the first time in this progression of trauma that he's experienced throughout his life. And I saw him in the cells underneath the Magistrates Court, and I said to him, look, I'm going over the road here to talk to law students about what it means, for example, to work at VALS. And I asked him, what does it mean for you that VALS exists? And what he said is, you know, you guys understand what I'm saying. You guys understand what it is. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to go through my history. You know, if I say this, I don't have to go through it all. This is a sense of ownership over our service that belongs squarely in the Aboriginal community. And I think the power that sits within that can't really be tinkered with. It's been there for 40 years. And that invests in you a great sense of responsibility in ensuring that the people who own your service are the people who you represent. So that's what keeps me getting out of bed in the morning. I feel very fortunate to have had that experience, and if Don't be afraid. You know, I was terrified when I took the phone call asking me that I wanted, whether I wanted to come and do a 3-week locum position at Vowels after I'd finished my internship. Terrifying prospect to go in there with no experience and take that role on, and then equally terrified when I stood in the garage and was asked if I wanted to take up the principal legal officer role. But those are your fears and your concerns. If you can get control of those and just go on and do the best you can, then you'll be in good stead, I think. That's my 2 cents worth.
Jill's proof of that. Our next speaker is Claire Braden, who's the Legal and Policy Officer at the Supreme Court of Victoria and a former Victorian Public Service Grads Scheme participant. You'll find information about both the Grads Scheme and the Supreme Court of Victoria in the guide. We're very appreciative that you've been able to come along at very short notice to replace someone who was unfortunately unable to attend. So if you could please welcome Claire.
Hi everyone. I'm here to share my recent experience participating in the Victorian Government Graduate Program called the VPS Grads last year. I hope that through sharing my experiences since graduating, I can really encourage you to think outside the box when planning your first few years out of law school. As a final year law student interested in public interest law, but not too sure what specific direction I wanted to go in, I saw the VPS program as a great way to gain a broad insight into government legal practice and also into public administration. I think this is a really valuable foundation for any government lawyer. Over the course of the 12-month program, I worked in 3 different legal departments across the Victorian government, the Department of Premier and Cabinet, the then Department of Business and Innovation, and the Department of Justice. I spent my time at the Department of Premier and Cabinet in the constitutional and administrative law team. This was a great opportunity to work on projects of national importance. I worked on a number of national schemes, including participating in interstate negotiations over the drafting of the NDIS legislation. This was a really exciting experience for a graduate lawyer. I had the opportunity to write Cabinet and other briefs to the Premier regarding administrative law matters, and I also tried my hand at drafting legislation. At the Department of Business and Innovation, I was able to put my biotechnology degree to use when drafting grant agreements and scientific funding agreements. I also gained commercial law experience when involved in large-scale infrastructure projects with Major Projects Victoria, something that I didn't initially expect I would get exposure to with government. And Consumer Affairs Victoria at the Department of Justice was another experience altogether, working for a marketplace regulator. I completed my Certificate 4 in Government Investigation and participated in projects investigating breaches of a number of pieces of legislation that the department administers, such as the Estate Agents Act and the Australian Consumer Law. And I also had the opportunity to conciliate disputes between traders and consumers. In reflecting on my experience when preparing for this presentation, I really can't believe the diversity of matters that I got to work on over the course of the year. And it was great to build that professional network across the government so that now I have a friend in every government department that I can call if I have a question. And at the conclusion of my graduate year, I decided I wanted some experience in litigation, as I love the adversarial side to legal practice. So I decided to dive right in and go to the Supreme Court. And I was fortunate that a suitable position came up shortly after completing the program. So I now work there as the Legal and Policy Officer for the Common Law Division of the Court. They also have a legal and policy officer for each other division, so there's the commercial and equity and also the criminal law division. And the division exercises the court's supervisory jurisdiction over other courts and tribunals and also over public officials, so I've been able to further my knowledge of administrative law through that experience. And I'm also learning a range of other new areas of practice that I haven't had exposure to, like personal injury law and medical negligence, which are also handled by the Common Law Division. This is a really fantastic role that's constantly evolving and very much what I make of it. I report to the principal judge of the division, and my role is to ensure that the business of the division runs as smoothly as possible, both for the judges and for the practitioners. This involves hosting regular meetings to allow practitioners in a particular field to discuss issues with the judges that are of concern, with things like case management and how trials are listed at the court. The practitioners will often raise issues of concern and suggest potential ways that procedures can be reformed. So when that happens, I am responsible for considering the merit of those issues raised and recommending the appropriate avenue for reform. And I also have a role in large-scale litigation management through organising all the civil circuits for the court. So that's an initiative to ensure that the Supreme Court is accessible to all Victorians, regardless of where they live. So we have judges that travel to 12 different regional locations in Victoria and hear trials in those different areas. So for me, public interest law isn't really about the flexible working hours or the job stability, any of those things that you hear bantered around. It's about choosing a career that resonates with my personal values, and this is what motivates me to work hard and take pride in my work. So I hope I've given you an insight into one possible way into government legal practice or a career in public interest law, and more importantly, the exciting and the diverse opportunities that are out there for you. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Felicity Milner, who is the Principal Solicitor at the Environment Defenders Office Victoria. Felicity has worked in environmental and planning law throughout her career, and been involved in several significant public interest environment law cases. Before joining EDO Victoria, she worked as a senior solicitor at the counterpart EDO in New South Wales and as a solicitor in private practice at a firm specialising in local government and planning and environment law. She holds a Bachelor of Arts in Law from the University of New South Wales and in 2011 was named Young Environmental Lawyer of the Year by the Law Council of Australia. Please welcome Felicity.
Hi everyone. So as Mario said, I've worked in private practice and also in public interest practice, and I'm going to start off with talking about the three main things that I think make public interest practice much more enjoyable, much more rewarding and much more satisfying, for me anyway. I mean, the first thing that both the other speakers have talked about is doing something that you care about and that makes you feel good about yourself is a lot more personally rewarding. I do get up to go to work in the morning and I don't feel bad about it, which occasionally I did when I was working in private practice, to be perfectly honest. The second thing is that, certainly in my job anyway, I find it much more challenging in a number of ways than what I did when I was working in private practice. I find it more intellectually challenging and more intellectually stimulating. At the Environment Defenders Office, I'm principal lawyer, so that means that one of the things that is the main part of my role is trying to undertake and undertaking strategic litigation. So that means you're not just helping out any client that walks in the door. You're helping out a client when you think that the case will make a difference, when it will push the boundaries of the law, show that the law is not working, or somehow improve the law and the way that in our case it protects the environment. And that is, one, a lot more interesting, and two, I think a lot more challenging than just helping out and going through the analysis and applying it to whatever client comes through the door. The other way that it's more challenging is that quite often in litigation, it'll be me and a barrister, or sometimes in some of the preliminary matters, just me, and then you'll have a team of, because we're always against government and big companies, or almost always against government and big companies. They're well resourced, they've got big legal teams. There's been matters where it's been me versus six lawyers on the other side, and I've kind of enjoyed that sometimes, to be perfectly honest. The bar are great at getting us help, so it's not like we're trotting off to the Supreme Court on our own. It doesn't happen like that. But there are, being able to feel like you can hold your own with people who obviously have a lot better resources than you, and sometimes even win the cases, is a really exciting and really challenging aspect of my work. The other thing I really enjoy is my colleagues and my clients. So people are there because, at the Environment Defenders Office, because we care about the environment, we care about the work we do. So that is a really positive and really exciting environment to be working in. Our clients are also great. You meet people, you meet little old ladies who will lay down in front of a bulldozer to protect a patch of bush that they care about, or a committed campaigner who's been doing campaigning and trying to get government to better protect the environment for decades, and they're really clever, they're really smart, and they can teach you a lot. And so that is also really rewarding. I find personally satisfying. So I'm just going to finish by giving a couple of tips based on my experience as to how I got to where I am today. I think the first thing that you should do if you want to work in the not-for-profit or social justice sector is get involved early. So I think volunteer, attend events, join groups, whatever you need to do. I didn't do a clerkship. I didn't have any trouble getting a job when I finished university because I sort of made a point of getting involved. I did work experience at things like Aboriginal Legal Services, things that I was interested in, cared in, and I got a lot of useful contacts and a lot of useful experience doing that. And my first job actually came through, eventually, a volunteer position. So I think that's really important, really useful. That's also, I find, personally satisfying. It is only through volunteering and being involved, or not only, but primarily through volunteering and being involved, that you meet the people that will tell you about jobs that are in the sector, or that will eventually give you that job that are in the sector, and that's a really useful connection to make. I can also say that at the Environment Defenders Office, when we're employing people, one of our main selection criteria is a demonstrated commitment to the environment. So the main thing that we look at is whether people have studied environmental law and have also volunteered and been involved with the environment and show that genuine commitment and passion about protecting the environment. The other thing I'd say is be patient. I think it's fair to say that although this guide will point out some really important opportunities to work in the public interest and social justice sector, it's probably fair to say that there's not a heap of opportunities for graduate lawyers. So if you do find yourself killing time in private practice or government or whatever, don't be stressed out about it. It's useful experience. It'll be useful for if you ever do manage to make the transition over to the social justice and not-for-profit sector. And I'd say in that interim period, again, stay involved, stay volunteering, stay connected with the people who are doing things that you're interested in. Thanks.
Thanks, Felicity. If I could pick up on something you said, I guess I also work in this field, and I don't get Sunday cloud or Monday cloud, and my Fridays are not really that much different to my Mondays. And I think that's a common experience of people who work in sort of community law and similar sort of progressive law areas. And I reckon that's kind of, if you're wondering the one thing that you really want from a job, I'd say that's it. It's something it's not a hassle to get up and go to. In fact, you look forward to it. Our final speaker tonight is Penelope Swales, and I mentioned Penelope in the beginning. She, together with Katja and Alice, and also our administrator, Janice Hugo, and our former project officer, Andre Dow, have been the people who put this guide together, and they've done extraordinary work. Penelope is just in the last stages of her law degree before she... I've finished. My apologies. Congratulations. Waiting on results then.
So
it's officially finished. She's all done. And just about to head off, we hope, on her own progressive career. So please welcome Penelope to the stage.
Thank you, Marius. I am so stoked to see you all here. I just want to do a little bit of, vox pop. How many of you are students? Hand up. Okay, hands down. Mike? Okay. Melbourne? A few? But tell your friends that we love you and we'd love you to come to more PLN events. Deacon? Good. Latrobe? Okay, so we did get a few from the others, that's really good. Hey? Oh, are you? Any of you? So, I feel kind of vindicated because when the Progressive Law Network formed in 2010, the two things we wanted to do, we wanted to run what was initially described in the first meeting as an end-of-year conference of awesomeness, which has now become three March conferences of awesomeness, run by PLN members. And the other thing we wanted to do was a public interest law careers guide. We were sitting around going, why are we here? Why are we studying law? Why are we working so hard? Are we just going to end up turning into corporate drones? Like, we were felt so inundated with information about commercial law paths that we weren't that interested in, and yet we knew that there were amazing lawyers out there doing amazing things. What we didn't know was how do you get there? And it's not quite as straightforward, but it's not as hard as all that. So there are opportunities out there. One of the things I'd like to make really clear is that this guide is not comprehensive in the sense that it doesn't cover every single organisation. We identified 200 organisations, and we got entries from about 80 of them. So there are more opportunities out there than this, which is good for you to know when you're looking through it. There's certainly plenty here for you to look at. And at this point, I'm wondering where the mouse is. Do we have a mouse? Oh, look at that. Oh, hang on. So I said that I would show people how it works. What we wanted to do was create something, because originally we were thinking in terms of students. The more we talked about it, the more practicing lawyers said, oh, can I get a copy? That sounds good. I'd really like to know what's out there. And then we thought about it a little bit more and went, well, why stop there? So we wanted to make a resource that was broad enough for secondary school students and career counsellors to have a look and see what was out there. Oh, hello. To see what was out there, that was useful for undergraduates who were looking for volunteering on internship, that was useful for graduates who were looking for graduate positions or employment opportunities, and was also useful for practical practicing lawyers. I particularly wanted to have people and showcase people that were working in the field. So these are all our other testimonials. Most of these people have spoken at our conferences over the years. Some of them have independently volunteered their time. This is an interesting character. This is Lewis Schetzer. He's worked for Flemington Kensington Community Legal Centre. I met him 20 years ago when I was sitting on a bulldozer trying to prevent the Eastern Freeway extension in North Fitzroy, long before I ever thought of actually being a lawyer myself. So you can look at those people, you can look at how they got there, how they felt about it, what they do now, at their career paths. You'll find that not everybody goes into public interest law from the get-go. A lot of people work in private law, private practice first. And that's good, that's fine too. We wanted to talk about all the different fields, and there's probably more fields than we've got here. These are the ones that we've got. So one way to navigate the guide is to go to the area that interests you. Say, for example, environmental law. There's a bit of a blurb about what environmental law is about. Here's the Environmental Defenders Office. And then we come down and find out what sort of opportunities they have available. You can also do it by stage of career. So, for example, how many of you are graduating this year? Okay. How many of you are penultimate students? And I should be sweating. Yep. I feel your pain. I'm going through it myself at this very moment. Say you're looking for graduate things, and you can look at this in advance so that you can plan, which is a lot of what I wanted to do was create something where people could plan in the head. These are the graduate programs. You need to look at them closely. Not all of these programs will give you admission to practice. You don't necessarily need to be admitted to practice to be a public interest lawyer, but you need to be aware of that when you're looking for what you're applying for. And then I also have got a few. There's a lot more organisations that do this, but if you do end up doing the Customs or College of Law, you'll need to do a BLT placement. These are just a few of the organisations that will do that for you, that you can do that with. We wanted to talk about people who are going to be forging their own pathways. Something that I've discovered through my research is that only about 20% of people are getting a graduate clerkship now. Everybody else is going through practical legal training. What that means is that the legal profession is changing. What that means is that employers now know that if they don't train us, we'll pay for it and do it ourselves. That's the reality of the situation. But it also means that practical legal training is not a poor second cousin to getting a graduate clerkship. It's a perfectly legitimate way to become a lawyer. And it might even give you a bit more control over where you're going to go. So we showcase three providers, and there's also the volunteering internships page that will show you all these fabulous places where you can go and get yourself some volunteering experience, and also where the internships are. So, I'll scroll back up again. There's also for Indigenous lawyers and students, I wanted to make a resource for them. So these are organisations that are useful for Indigenous lawyers and students. Anyway, what else do I need to say while I'm here? I need to say, hey, why don't you join the Progressive Law Network? We're awesome. The lovely Sophie and Erica will be outside taking memberships. We've got a special deal on tonight, so it's $5 memberships. If you're a Monash Clayton student, please talk to Erica. If you're any other kind of student, please talk to Sophie. And I think that's about it. We've got laptops set up around the room. Please go and have a surf. Maybe limit yourselves to maybe 5 or 10 minutes each and then hop off and let somebody else have a go. Lucy Castan has volunteered to get up here and surf this computer, so if you can't get on one of those, you can see what you find interesting. What I found interesting when you do, it's not like someone looking in your underwear drawer, you know, when you're using a computer and everyone can see it. And thank you all so very, very much for coming along. And that's the other thing. I knew there was something. I just wanted to give something to my co-workers, especially the ones that did the bulk of the work. Alice isn't here, so I'll get to later. Katya, where are you? Katya and Alice research above and beyond the call of duty, even after the funding ran out. So you've got a lot to thank them for. Janice, where are you? Janice did so much hard work. And yes, were you going to say anything else or are we done?
We're done.
We're done. Get up.